What I want to do this evening is I want to share something entitled Sound Doctrine. And if you can take your Bibles and go to Acts chapter 20, we'll begin there. As the Apostle Paul was heading towards Jerusalem, on his way he called to meet with the elders from the church of Ephesians. So the Ephesian elders were gathered together under him, and in chapter 20 of Acts, beginning in verse 16 or 17, it says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus, and he called for the elders of the church." Now jump down to verse 27. And this is some of what he talked to the elders about in the church. He said, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, and unto all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own self shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." Paul warned the Ephesian elders that grievous wolves would enter in among you. He said they wouldn't spare the flock. He said that even of their own selves. Now, he was talking to the leadership in the church. So what he was saying was that even leadership of your own selves, even some leaders in the church, shall men arise. And these leaders would speak perverse things. And the reason why they would speak these things and do the things they do, because they had an agenda, and their agenda was to draw away disciples after them. Now, Strong's has an interesting note about the word arise. The word arise in verse 30, where it says, "Also of your own selves shall men arise." He says one of the usages of this word arise was used with regards to a leader of insurgents. Leader of insurgents. Now here, an insurgent is a person who revolts against an established doctrine. It's a person who acts contrary to the policies and doctrines of their own church. It's a person who acts contrary to the established doctrine of God's word. See, because the word of God is given for doctrine, for reproof and correction, we learn in the book of Timothy. Paul warned that when he left, false teachers would invade the church. It was true then, and it's true now. And it's true right up until the gathering together. It's true in the end times, and it's going to be true in the next administration. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now, God instructed the Apostle Paul that there would be a close to the grace in which we share and live in. He instructed the Apostle Paul that one day we would come to the end of the chapter of the Church of God, of the Church of Grace, and it would be over. And the next administration would come. And the next administration to follow the Church of Grace is the administration of judgment. We live in an administration of grace today, but the next administration to follow is the administration of judgment. And he said the closer you get to the end time, to the latter days, certain things are going to happen. Certain things need to come together, need to be in place. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 1, it speaks with regards towards heading towards these end days. Now the Spirit, verse 1, speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You see, in the latter times, in the end days, in the last quarter, if you're a football player, okay? He said, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. See? Seared with a hot iron. This is the only place in the pastoral epistles that demons are mentioned. Okay? The only place in the pastoral epistles that demons are mentioned, and it's mentioned in this context. Doctrines of devils, doctrines of demons, working with seducing spirits. It says that some would depart from the faith. The word depart in the Greek means to cause to withdraw, to desert. To depart from the faith here means to stop believing the truth of the word. You see, you can't depart from something if you don't have it or if you're not there. These is talking about believers. These are talking about people who are born again, and yet they listen to something. They listen to seducing spirits. They listen to doctrines of devils. And what happens is it causes them to depart from the faith. They replace the truth of God's word with the doctrine of demons. This was accomplished because they took heed to seducing spirits. The word seducing in the Greek is planos, and the word planos means wandering or misleading, leading into error. We get our English word planet from it, because in the olden days when they looked up, they could see the planets moving through the skies, wandering through the skies. They didn't understand the way we understand today. But that's that word there. The words giving heed means to pay attention to, or to take heed or attach oneself to. You see, you attach yourself to that doctrine, but it happens to be a doctrine of a demon. It's a devilish doctrine. Taking heed means to hold on to or cleave to devote thought or an effort to. Verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Verse 2, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. See, that's what they do. And this is why I'm so adamant about you, your need to understand salvation. And you need to understand the complete and total sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And you can't let anybody tell you that you can lose your salvation. Because when somebody tells you you can lose your salvation, they're an enemy of the cross. And they're an enemy of what that cross accomplished. When someone tells you that, they're undermining the pure blood of the Lamb. They're undermining the complete work on Calvary. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, please. In 2 Corinthians 11, in verse 3, it says, but I fear, lest by any means as certain beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him. In other words, this junk has been going around for years and years. And even in the days of the Apostle Paul, there were people that preached different things. People that went places in the Word of God without the understanding from God and shared things. And he said, you're going to put up with that. You don't seem to squawk about that too much. And if you read the book of Corinthians, you'll see exactly what he was talking about. Because there was a lot of things going on in the church of Corinthians that everybody put up with. Because no one wanted to confront it. Nobody wanted to say, thus saith the Lord, this is what the word said. Everybody was doing pretty much what they wanted to do. And everybody was pretty much minding their own business so they could keep peace. Look at Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians 1 verse 6, Paul writes, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So someone is going from the grace of Christ into another gospel, which isn't another, but that be some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And anytime you touch the grace of God, anytime you touch the grace of Christ, you're perverting the gospel. When you're trying to turn the gospel of grace into a gospel of legalism, when you try to turn the gospel of grace into a gospel of works, then you're perverting the gospel. He goes on in verse 8 where he says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you that we had preached unto you, fellowship with him. Let's get along for love's sake. Don't say that. He says, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. Because if you begin to compromise and give an inch, before you know it, you're going to be way over your head and you're going to turn around. You're going to say, how in the world did I ever get here? If you're going to, if you're going to question your eternal life, if you're going to question your everlasting life, then the next thing on the list, logically, would be, why don't we question the source? Okay? And this is what happens when you question your salvation. When the Word of God teaches so plainly that we have everlasting life, that it's given to us as a gift, it's free, it's by grace, it's by the faith of Christ. When someone comes along and challenges that, then sooner or later someone's going to come along and challenge the source of that. For instance, in John chapter 14, in verse 6 it says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by what? Maybe. Now let's not talk about eternal life per se, salvation per se. Let's talk about this verse. See? Because if you're going to question one portion of God's word, then what's going to happen when you get to this verse? You know what's going to happen? I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. People are going to question this verse. And you know what people are going to put forth? People are going to say there's more than one road to heaven. People are going to begin to teach that you can get to God another way other than Jesus Christ. People in the church are going to begin to teach that Jesus Christ is not the only way to God. He's a way, but he's not the only way to God. And if you don't believe that, you better get your head out of the dirt, because it's gone on. And see, this is what happens when people start to question. Okay? The Bible doesn't teach us to fellowship with that. The Bible doesn't teach us to invite those doctrines of devils into our lives. The Bible says that let him be accursed, people who teach that. A devil spirit by the name of tolerance is working with seducing spirits in this day and in this time, and they're causing believers all over the world to become cowards. They're causing believers to compromise on God's word. And the Bible says God has not given us a cowardly spirit, a spirit of fear, but a powerful spirit. See? But because people question God, people question the word of God, people put forth all kinds of junk, okay, and then they name it love, And because they name it love, they bring it into the church under the banner of love. But it's not the banner of love. It's the banner of devils. It's a lie. Northern California pastor has been removed from his church following an outrage over a sign outside the parish that he put up. The sign read, "Bruce Jenner's is still a man. Homosexuality is still a sin. Cultures may change, but the Bible does not." The sign shared on the pastor's Facebook page sparked protest and national news coverage. Justin Hoke announced his departure on the Trinity Bible Presbyterian Church Facebook page Saturday evening. "I was informed that essentially all but one couple in the membership would leave the church if I continued to pastor this church," Hoke said in his post.
That's something.
Two people out of the whole church said, "We'll stay." But everybody else said, "You don't get rid of that preacher, we're gone." And you know why they said that? Because he put up a sign that said, "Bruce Jenner's is still a man. Homosexuality is still a sin. Cultures may change, but the Bible does not." And that infuriated them. It infuriated them. Another church elder agreed to assume his pastoral responsibilities, according to Hoke, who did not immediately respond to a request for a comment. The church has been under fire ever since the sign went up about 2 weeks ago, targeting the transgender celebrity Caitlin Jones, a.k.a. He's Still a Man. Hoke first announced that the message was going to go up outside the church through a Facebook post. "The response we were receiving from the sign proves that it was too late," Hoke commented under a photo that he shared of the sign. "If a conservative mountain farming community is no longer safe to call sin sin, then is there anywhere in the country still safe for real Christians?" That's what he said. The church is located in Skitskew County near the Oregon border. Somebody vandalized the sign earlier this week, breaking the plexiglass and stealing some of the letters. It went back up the following day with essentially the same message. The sign prompted a few people to organize the Shastina Love Rally. They got a whole bunch of people together. And their mantra was to show our love and support for the LGBTQ community. That means lesbians, bisexuals, gays, transgenders, and my favorite, queers. That's what the Q, they added that in. "Not only to our community, but the worldwide support. The first rally took place on January 6th. The second was planned for the following Sunday." Amelia Mallory, a resident of the Lake Shastina and an organizer of the rally, said the sign was shocking. When the organizers reached out to the pastor about taking the sign down, they said he seemed really not open to the idea. "Even in acknowledging that we live in a more rural and generally a more conservative area, the fact that somebody thought that we would accept but that it would be accepted by our community was definitely surprising," Mallory said. The rally organizers applauded the congregation for being willing to stand on their convictions. They also turned for Hoke and his family now that he's unemployed. On the church Facebook post announcing the pastor's departure, Mallory said she would offer to take the sign down. Now that's a nice kettle of fish. See? And they were applauded for willing to stand on their convictions. Look at Romans chapter 1. You see? The Bible says that in the latter days that some will depart and give heed to seducing spirits. That's a current example of what it teaches in 1 Timothy. people who are departing from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, turning against God, turning against the Word of God, turning against their pastor who's trying to teach them God's Word, and siding in the name of tolerance and diversity and love. It was titled The Love Rally with the devil. The New International reads of Romans chapter 1, verse 25. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshiped and served the created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. That's what they did in California or Oregon. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And they were willing to stand on the lie, turn their back on God, and turn their back against the Word of God and that man who represented God, and stand on a lie instead. And that's what tolerance is doing to our nation. And this was the church. This was inside the church. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy 4 verse 1 says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, exhort, or rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering, and what? Doctrine. And doctrine. Verse 3, for the time will come. This is what he's telling Timothy. He says, there's a time coming, Timothy, when the people, will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching what?
Ears.
See it? He warned about that. He said there's a time coming where they won't hear, they will not endure sound doctrine anymore. They don't want to hear it. You know what they want to hear? They want to hear something that's going to feed their lust and feed their ears. And they'll go find themselves teachers that will provide that for them. And those teachers, many of them, are inside the church. 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 13, it says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being what? That's what the Bible says is going to happen in the end days. That they're going to wax worse and worse. And they're going to deceive. Because they themselves are deceived. They don't understand the truth. Now look at Luke chapter 17. This is our last verse we'll read tonight. Luke 17. Now I made a comment a week or two ago about the homosexual agenda and the movement of the homosexual agenda in the United States and across the world. And the comment that I made was went along these lines. I says, it's necessary for the homosexual agenda to rise to fame, to rise to prominence, because it's part of the end time prophecies. That's what I said. In Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 28, it says, likewise, also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they brought, they sold, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they what?
Build it.
They built it. So, he starts off by saying, likewise, as it was in the days of Lot. Now, as it was in the days of Lot, these are just some of the things that were going on in the days of Lot. But these things here went on in the days of everybody. Is there anything significant about eating? Everybody eats. Does everybody drink? Did everybody buy? Does everybody sell? Does everybody plant? Does everybody build? All generations do that. But these are just put there. Because if he went on and he continued, the chapter would be a lot longer. Likewise, also, as it was in the days of Lot. What is significant about the days of Lot? Is eating significant? Drinking? Buying, selling, planning, building? No, that's not significant. That doesn't stand out. You talk to anybody, and you talk to them about Lot. You mentioned the name Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know what's significant about Sodom and Gomorrah, about the days of Lot? What's significant about the days of Lot was the great sin and the outrage that was going on there of homosexuality. You understand? That's what's significant. And it says, as it was. Likewise, also, as it was in the days of Lot. Homosexuality was prominent, peaking all over the place in the days of Lot. That's what makes the days of Lot stand out. Not any of these other things. They were common to all generations. But homosexuality, look at it. Verse 29. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them, what? Destroyed them all. Now watch what it ties it into. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is what? Revealed. You see, Jesus Christ comes to the earth in two ways. Jesus Christ comes to the earth in grace, in our day and in our time, and all that is entailed in that grace, because grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, it teaches us in the Gospel of John. But in the next administration, Jesus Christ is not coming in grace. In the next administration, Jesus Christ is coming in judgment. He's coming in judgment. And in order for the Son of Man to be revealed, it has to be like it was in the days of Lot. Now, I'm not a date setter or a time setter, and anybody who's a date setter or a time setter is wrong right from the beginning. But you got to understand, certain things have to be in place before the last chapter of the book starts. The LGBTQ community and their rise to prominence is a sign of the end times. It's not about tolerance. It's about prophecy being fulfilled. Scripture says, as it was in the days of Lot, but the same day Lot went out, it did what? Rained fire and brimstone from heaven, and it destroyed them all. And if you know anything about the next administration, that's going to be part of the next administration. The LGBT community is just another piece of the puzzle, of the big picture, that must take its place before the day of God's judgment, the day of the Lord, is able to come in. Now, did you ever go and see a play? Or perhaps when you were little, you were part of a play at school. Okay? Right before the curtain is raised, before the play begins, there's a whole lot of activity that goes on behind the scenes. There's a whole lot of activity that goes on behind the curtain. You see, remember when we went to Sight and Sound and the curtain was down? The key characters and the props involved in the production must take their place before the curtain can rise and reveal them. Like, I remember they would get me, and I was going to be in a play when I was little. They say, you stand right here on this mark. And the teacher would take you, and they stand you right here. And then they get little Susie and say, you're going to come in from over there. So, Susie, you're going to stand right here. And they get everybody that's involved in the play, and they put them in their spot, so to speak. And when everybody is in their spot, you know what you have? The curtain goes up. And when the curtain goes up, it reveals the play. You see, this is why I say that the LGBTQ players and template must be in place before the final curtain call, before the final curtain goes up. Now, there's other things that have to be in place. But what you got to understand, although we cannot set a date and we cannot set the time, we're not to be ignorant. And you can see what the scripture says. And you can see how men who stand behind the lectern are getting thrown out of the church because the congregation, all but two, said, if you don't get rid of that guy who said that homosexuality is a sin, we're leaving. What is that? You know what that is? That's a player in the big play that has to stand in this spot before the curtain can come up. Now, there's other things. There's other players. There's other systems that have to be in place before the curtain can get up. But make no doubt, the homosexual movement in this country is not of chance. It's not about tolerance. It's about fulfilling prophecy, and it has to be in place. And it will be dealt with and destroyed in the great whore Babylon when that's destroyed in the future. But it has to be there. So we don't be ignorant of the end times. We don't be ignorant of the things that are going around us. And this should give us an urgency of the times we live in. The Bible says today's a day of salvation because it gets closer and closer. We should realize these things. And we should be thankful for what we have. And we should be able to move forward with God's word and share God's word, knowing that, you know, whether it's in our lifetime or whether it's not, I can tell you this. We're closer today to the return of Christ than we were yesterday. And as you keep your eyes open and you look at the things going around, you can see that the word of God prophesies of different things that have to come to pass. You're going to hear this and you're going to hear that, and this is going to be. And it's just being set. The cast is being called. They're taking their places behind the curtain. And one day, when the gathering comes, the curtain will go up. And it will reveal the next scene. And that scene is the scene of judgment, in which Jesus Christ will come in judgment and not grace. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that you continue to teach us your word, that we're not ignorant of the times. But we don't focus on the times. We focus on the Lord. And our heart is on the return, Father, and what he's saved us from and what he's redeemed us from, and how thankful we can be for that. Thank you, Father, that you continue to teach us and that we can be men and women that would do your word. And it's in Jesus' precious name that I pray this evening. Amen.